George Mueller was a Christian evangelist in England in the 1800s and was very well known for his faith and his prayer life and his evangelism. If you want to hear some amazing stories about answered prayer, read about the life of George Mueller. Towards the end of his life, he wrote this, and I quote, "I have been praying for 63 years and 8 months for one man's conversion. He has not converted yet, but he will." Interestingly, George Mueller died, but before he was buried, that man that he had been praying for all of those years became a Christian. So I want to encourage you to keep on praying for that person that you love that is outside of Jesus. Never give up praying for them. Never think that your prayers are not being heard, because they are being heard. And those prayers have a powerful effect. Maybe you will see that person come to Christ that you've been praying for. But maybe it will take your death to move that person to Christ. But please, never stop praying that your loved one will be saved. I've been preaching all this year of 2024 on the subject of mission possible. I cannot emphasize too much the kinship between faith and prayer and witnessing. As a pastor, George Mueller also led an orphanage and cared for over 10,000 kids in his lifetime. But Mueller wrote in his journal that his primary goal was not really to care for orphans. Rather, his primary goal was to use his orphanage as a witness to the provision and glory of God. Never once did he raise funds or ask for money. When they had a need, he just prayed, and God always provided. One morning, there was no milk for the children's breakfast. Mueller started to pray, and a milk wagon broke an axle right at the corner where the orphanage was located. The driver was unable to finish his deliveries. Afraid that the milk might spoil, he donated his milk, all of his milk, to the orphanage for that day. Another time, 28 new orphans arrived, and they had no plates to feed them on. George Mueller began to pray. And a woman who was moving to a new home came to the door with a donation of kitchen supplies. When they opened it up, 28 spoons, 28 forks, 28 knives, 28 cups, 28 bowls, and 28 plates. He was a man of prayer, and he believed in the power of prayer. Another morning, the children all got up, got dressed, and ready for school, but they didn't have food for breakfast. Mueller, though, was confident that God would provide for them that day. He knew that God would come through for them, so he began to pray, and he had all 300 children, 300, I said, 300, sit down at the tables, and within minutes, they heard a knock on the door. It was the local baker. He said, "Mr. Mueller, last night, I could not sleep. Somehow, I knew that you would need bread this morning for the children. I got up and baked bread for the children. I'll bring it right in." That's one story after another of that kind from George Mueller. Prayer works. Add faith-filled prayer to your witnessing, and there is no limit as to what God could do through you and through me. The mission He has given to us becomes very possible. And so my question to you today would be this: would you be willing to pray that God would help you be a witness for him. Over the next 2 Sundays, I want to challenge you to find your niche, so to speak, in the area of witnessing. And actually, next Sunday, my brother Tom will be the one challenging you from this podium. He's going to be here. He's visiting us for a few days. I think he'll arrive Saturday evening and be here for about 3 days. And I said, Tom, I want you to preach. I want you to preach on the subject of witnessing. And so, together, today and next Sunday, he and I will team up in challenging you, as well as us, in this area of witnessing. You might recall, 2 months ago, my brother-in-law, Dave, preached to you. Next Sunday, my brother Tom will preach to you. I want you to know I feel very thankful to be able to share these guys with you. They are the 2 best soul winners I know of. They have influenced my life so much. I worked with my brother-in-law Dave for 7 years in my first ministry, and he was such a mentor to me. And now I get to share with you my brother next Sunday. He's influenced me all of my life. He was actually my preacher when I was in high school. He had come back to his home church in O'Fallon, Missouri, and I got to listen to him preach every Sunday. And I remember him taking me with him into people's homes, and I would sit and listen as he would talk with people about Jesus and share the gospel with them. And so these 2 fellows have had such an impact on my life. I'm excited to share them with you. A number of you have heard me preach on the different styles of evangelism before. And if you've been doing the monthly Bible studies that I've been writing, you will have studied in-depthly 4 of those styles of evangelism. Every one of us here have a style that best fits us. And if we can figure out what that style is, then we can focus on that style and begin to grow more in that style of evangelism. And really, most of us would have more than one style. And so my challenge is that we would grow in our witnessing, to understand these styles and how they work, and then to get out of our comfort zone and let God stretch us. Maybe we can grow to the point that we can use multiple styles of evangelism depending on the person that we are talking to and what their need is. The first style of evangelism that I want to talk to you about is simply this, the invitational style of evangelism. And this one is so important, and all of us can do this. It doesn't require any training at all. It's just taking a little bit of courage on our part. And certainly the Holy Spirit has plenty of courage that He can share with us. We just need to be open to the Holy Spirit filling us and using us. I'm talking just simply inviting people to church. It's inviting people to come and see. There are several examples in Scripture of people who have this particular style of evangelism. What did Andrew do after he met Jesus for the first time? Do you remember? He went to his brother. Hey, Peter. Hey, Peter, come. Come and see. He said to him, "We have found the Messiah." Verse 42 of John chapter 1 says, he brought him to Jesus. We need more Andrews who will go to their brothers and their sisters and their family members and their friends and simply invite them to come and see. John's gospel also tells about Philip who went to get Nathanael. He said, "We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Maybe you recall what Nathanael said. When Philip says, "We found Jesus, he's from Nazareth," he says, "What good thing can come out of Nazareth?" It's kind of like someone saying, "What good thing can come out of Metz?" Or if you're from Bernal, "What good thing can come out of Hume?" And Philip said, "Just come and see." He simply gave an invitation. In John chapter 4, the woman at the well, she had this conversation with Jesus about living water. And Jesus says, "You've had five husbands, and the one that you're with now is not your husband." And she was blown away by that. And she says, "I think you might be the Messiah." And she goes back into her hometown and she tells everyone, "Come see this man who's told me everything that I have ever done. Could this be the Messiah?" She's inviting people. And as a result, the whole town came out to see Jesus and many of them believed. The invitational style of evangelism works. And sometimes the young people can be the best at this, can't they? I mean, they have no inhibitions. They invite their friends. And I want to encourage, if you're a young person sitting here today, I want to encourage you to be a leader in this invitational style of evangelism. Invite your friends to youth group activities. Invite your friends to come to church with you. Invite your friends to our food truck Sunday coming up on August 4th. That's going to be a fun Sunday, and there's going to be a slide, one of those bouncy slides that will be here as well. Can you imagine if all of us gave attention to this invitational style of evangelism, and we were inviting people to come to church, to come to Reinhardt on a Sunday? You know, there would be some people who would respond to those invitations. I'm not saying every invitation gets a positive response. In fact, I know better than that. There's a lot of people that when you give them an invite to church, it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But I will tell you, there will be some who respond positively to our invitations. I stopped and talked with a family during VBS week and asked, can your kids come to Vacation Bible School? And they showed up. You know what that did to me? It fired me up. I was so excited to see that those two young people here for Vacation Bible School. And it will fire you up if you give an invitation to someone to come to church and they actually show up. This particular style of evangelism works, and we need to be stretching ourselves in this. Just get into the habit of giving an invitation to people to come out to Reinhardt. Come and see. Come and experience for yourself. Let me give to you a second style of evangelism, the testimonial style. And this is simply sharing with others what Jesus has done for you. Billy McCarney here just a few weeks ago did a wonderful job of standing up here and sharing his testimony of how Jesus had rescued him from a world of darkness and brought him into the light. Now, if you didn't get to hear Billy's testimony that Sunday, I want to encourage you to go online to our church website and listen to it, because it was a powerful testimony. And we need more of you who would be willing to give your testimony before this church. Take 5 minutes and give your testimony of what Jesus has done for you. And you know what? It will touch people's hearts. But not only do we need to give our testimony in front of the church family, we need to be willing to give our testimony of what Jesus has done for us outside of these church walls, because that's where the lost people really are, and they need to hear our testimony. Giving your testimony here is like boot camp. It's preparing you to give your testimony out there. The Apostle Paul shared this particular style of evangelism. He shared with the crowd in Jerusalem his story. And you can read that in the book of Acts, particularly Acts chapter 22. He told of the time where he's going on the road to Damascus, towards Damascus. He's going with the intention of arresting Christians. He's going to put them in jail. Some of them will be killed. And he's talking to the crowd. He's saying, you know what kind of life I lived. I persecuted the church. I killed Christians. But let me tell you what happened on that road to Damascus. There was a bright light from heaven. And I heard the voice of Jesus. And I was blinded for 3 days. And I had to have my buddies take me on into the city of Damascus. And as I'm there, I'm praying and I'm calling out to God. He's got my attention. And this fellow named Ananias, he comes to me. And you know what he said to me? He said, what are you waiting for, Saul? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away. Paul shared his testimony with those people in Jerusalem, that crowd that he was standing before. He shared how God had called him from one kind of living to live a different way. And you and I can share that kind of testimony with others. How has Jesus helped you? Has he helped you in your marriage? Tell that to others. There are people all around us who need help in their own marriage. And when they hear that God has helped you in your marriage, it's going to get their attention. Has he been with you through hardship? And he's carried you through to the other side? Maybe he's helped you through cancer. Tell your testimony to others and what he has done for you. I've been encouraged. I know Debbie Walker. You know, she's been through her journey of cancer and treatments. And over the last few weeks, there's been some folks in our church who've said, I have cancer. And Debbie has reached out to me and said, hey, what's their number? I want to get a hold of them. Simply to walk with them, to encourage them, to pray for them. And that's what Scripture says. 2 Corinthians says that God comforts us through our hardship so that we can then be a comfort to others as they go through the same hardship that we've gone through. Has he answered a prayer for you? People need to hear that kind of testimony. It gives them hope and assurance that their own prayers are getting higher than the ceiling. It reminds them that God is still in the business of answering prayer. And remember, your testimony doesn't have to be a dramatic life change story from darkness to light. Maybe you're one who's grown up in the church. But as you have grown in the Lord, as you have matured in Him, He has helped you have a sense of peace and inner calm, then that's a story that people need to hear. People are needing peace, and they're looking to find peace. And if you have found peace and you share your testimony, they're going to be all ears to what you have to say. If He's helped you have victory over an addiction, then that's a story you need to tell. If He's helped you have victory over your temper, that's a story you need to tell. If He's helped you have victory over worry, then that's a story that you need to tell. If He's helped you in your finances, then that is a story that you need to tell, because there are a lot of folks who are struggling in that way. And if He's helped you endure through the tragedy of death in your life, then tell your story. If He has forgiven you of your sins, tell your story. If the church has helped you in one way or another, and it's been a blessing to you, then tell your story. People are always interested in a personal testimony. The man in John 9 had a powerful testimony. He said, "Once I was blind, but now I see." And so let me encourage you to write your testimony down. Make it shorter rather than longer. Make it to the point. Be ready to give your testimony when the opportunity arises. Your testimony could change somebody's life. It could put them on the road towards Jesus. And so we have the invitational style, and there's not a person here today that couldn't do that. And we have the testimonial style, and if Jesus is inside of you, and if He has changed you, if He has touched you in any way, then you've got a story to tell. Let me give to you a third style of evangelism, the intellectual style. Now, I have to admit, my first reaction to this style of evangelism is, no, that's not me. I'm not an intellectual person. But you know what? We can grow. We can grow in this area. It's simply the fact that we need people who are able to reason with others and answer questions and give a defense of the gospel. That's what the intellectual style of evangelism is. This was Paul in Athens when he was on Mars Hill, and he was reasoning with the philosophers of that day. Please hear me say this. We have good evidence for our Christianity. Do you believe that? We have good evidence for our Christianity. Archaeology gives support to Christianity. Science gives good support to Christianity. Fulfilled prophecy gives support to our Christianity. The miracles of Jesus and the many witnesses, the eyewitnesses of those miracles, that gives good support to our Christianity. And the greatest miracle of all, the resurrection, is the ultimate support to Christianity. No one has ever conquered the grave except Jesus. So we better give our undivided attention to Him and what He says to us. Isn't it interesting how the Bible has been attacked over and over through the centuries, and yet those who have attacked it have passed on, and still we have this book with us today. It has survived century after century of attack, and it provides for us reasonable, believable answers to life's most important questions of how did we get here? You can find the answer to that question in this book right here. Why are we here? You can find the answer to that question right here in this book. Where are we going? How do we get there? Who are we? And what is our value? You can find the answer to all of those questions right here in this book. Is life worth living? The Bible has the answer to that question. And we need to be ones who are students of this book. We need to research it. We need to study it. We need to learn it and understand it. And then we need to share what we have found with others. And when some questions are asked of us, we can trust that the Bible is true. We can answer those questions because we've researched it ahead of time. We've tested it ourselves, and we have found it to be trustworthy and believable. The person who has this style of evangelism needs to be not only a good student of this book, but they need to be a good listener to the Holy Spirit, because when we're in conversation with someone, the Holy Spirit will direct us in what to say. And something else, we need to be a good thinker and not an arguer. Do you hear me say that? We need to be a good thinker and not an arguer, because arguing will get us nowhere. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give a hope and account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." And so we need more people who will be open to God and growing them in this intellectual style of evangelism. So there's three styles of evangelism. Next week, my brother is going to share with you more styles of evangelism and some that he is very adept at. And I hope as you hear these sermons, what you've heard today, what you will hear next week, that as you hear them, you'll say, "Hey, hey, That style fits me. That's where my strength is. That's where my interest is." And then that you would really focus on that style and let God grow you in that style. We need all of us to be participants in this game of Christianity, so to speak. Nobody's sitting on the sidelines. Nobody's sitting on the sidelines and saying, "Go, Kevin, go. Go, Kevin, go." Or, go, Billy, go." No, it's all of us together participating and doing our part in pointing people towards Jesus. And if you're willing, He is willing. And He has equipped you with everything you need to carry this mission out. He has given you His Word. He has given you His Holy Spirit. And that is enough. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to be Your witnesses. We can't do this by ourselves. But with You, nothing is impossible. We anticipate people coming today, making decisions. And Lord, there are more people out there that we need to reach. In Jesus' name, amen.